they apply to you just by virtue of being a man. Okay, what is the thing? What are the five musts of Christian men and Christian fathers? Number one, look at the text in verse 13. Watch ye. You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to watch. You're supposed to be a watchman. What is the watchman? The watchman is the one that stays up so the other people can sleep. The watchman is on the wall and he is there to give warning when trouble comes. He's there to sound a trumpet and sound an alarm that there is danger around the corner and everybody must prepare themselves and stand guard for the threat that is coming. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel in chapter 33 and verse 6 that if a watchman is sitting there watching and he sees the sword come and he knows danger is coming and he doesn't blow the horn, the people will die, but their blood will be required at the watchman's hand because he did not sound the warning. And you and I are supposed to be that in our families, in our communities, in our churches, and at work. We're supposed to be the watchmen seated on the wall so people know that there is somebody there that's watching, that's looking out for danger. My dad has it, so I can relax a little bit. He's going to keep the trouble at bay and keep it on the outside. And he's going to let us know when we need to prepare. Your responsibility is to watch for those that can't see. To watch for those that can't see what you can see. Now please, don't expect somebody else to do it. You are the only one that can do it. It is your responsibility. And you know what people do? They try to put the responsibility on someone else. I don't like this new man that we've come up with that just goes along to get along. That's not a watchman. This new man that doesn't want to ruffle any feathers and doesn't want to make any waves, so he doesn't say anything, even when the danger is coming. He just lets it go along. And please understand, when I talk about biblical manhood, there's different kinds of men. And I don't want a narrow view of manhood, right? There's two men in the Bible in a great story, and they're so different. One of them is Jacob, and he's kind of a mama's boy, and he likes to cook. His mom's always watching out for him. He's a smooth man. And then there's Esau, and he's a hairy man. And he's always out hunting. And Jacob's on GQ magazine, and Esau's on Outdoor magazine. And Esau comes home, and he's so hungry, he's like, I'll kill you. Give me the pottage. You know, he doesn't care. He's just so hungry that he'll rip the door off the refrigerator. You're just a ravenous beast, right? But God used Jacob, the one from GQ magazine that trimmed his nose hairs and ear hairs. Okay, so I'm not trying to say that there's a narrow view of manhood. And you know, I think if you go get your cuticles pushed back, there's something wrong with you. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a biblical view of manhood and what God wants you to do. He wants you to watch out. And if you watch out with your nails done, then watch out with your nails done. Amen? But your job is to watch out for danger. Don't expect someone else to do it. What is a man? He's looking out. He's being a watchman. Why? Because this world's a wicked place. There are people that literally want to do your family and your children harm. There are some wicked, wicked people in this world. And there's wicked spirits and influences there. And there are young men that don't have your daughter's best interest at heart. And there are young ladies that like your son, but they don't love the Lord. And most importantly, if you would take your Bible, keep it here, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, be sober, be vigilant, be on guard, be a watchman Why? Because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't know about you, but if I thought there was a lion outside of my house, I would go to work differently. If I thought there was a lion outside my house, I wouldn't just let the kids wander up and down the neighborhood with no regard for what they're at or where they're doing. I wouldn't do that. You know, and the reality is that there is a lion. And he's outside your house and he's trying to get your family and he's trying to get your wife and he's trying to get your kids. And your job is to be the lookout and watch and warn. There is danger here. And you better take it seriously. You got to think about that. That's your responsibility as a father to watch. And no one else is responsible for that, men, but you. Lead, don't follow. That's her job. You're supposed to lead and you're not supposed to follow in your house. That is what you are supposed to do. Leadership is the ability to communicate a compelling state of affairs in a way that produces fellowship. We would say if a pastor is leading his church well, there's a clear mission and people understand what that is and what their part of it is and how to get that done. We would say if a man is leading his business properly, they would have clear goals and objectives and know how to get there and know what they were supposed to be doing. And we would see if a man was leading his family right, they would have a goal that they were trying to get to and how to get to it. And I went to church and I heard a sermon and our family is not where we're supposed to be. I'm not watching, but you know what? We need to get there. And this is, God has wired you in such a way that you know how to get done what needs to be done. A watchman. A watchman. Look at Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Mark chapter 3 and verse 27. Very important here. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. That's you. Then he'll spoil the house. They're not going to come in and rob you and rob your house and take your kids unless they first bind you. And you know what Satan has done? He's went into your house and he's lulled you to sleep. And he's coming in and you've been lulled to sleep by some vice or some sin and maybe it's lust or something like that. And now your senses are dulled and you have fallen asleep. And now he has free access to your house and he has free access to your children. And he's coming through, maybe not the front door, but he's coming through the Cat 5 cable. And he's coming through your kid's smartphone. And he's coming through the television. And you have fallen asleep. You've been bound. He's got you. And now that he has you bound, he can make spoil of your house because you are not watching. Watch. Watch. You know, the devil came to Eve. Where was Adam? I mean, you have one wife, no kids, he barely even had a job. Where was he at? Why wasn't he leading? He was following. He wasn't watching. She gave him the fruit and he took it. And he followed. Get it together. You're a man. Watch. You know what? He said, if you're not watching and somebody gets destroyed under your watch, their blood will I require at your hand. You know, he gave one verse of reprimand to Eve. And he gave three to Adam. Why? Because Adam was responsible. Stop watching football and start watching your family. It's on you. Take responsibility. For the love of God, step up and protect your family. And stop hiding behind your wife. Matthew chapter 13. Well, look at this. You got to see this. You're a watchman. You're supposed to watch. It says that in verse 24, Matthew 13 and verse 24, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while what? Look at verse 25. What does it say? While what? While men slept. While they were asleep. When they stopped watching. What happened next? His enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. While you stop watching. You know, while you're asleep and while you're not watching, the devil's going to come plant seeds in your kids and your family, and they're going to be things that you can't mitigate when you wake up. You can't just do away with them. He said, should we pull out the tares? He's like, well, we don't know what is tares and what is wheat. We got to let them grow together to the harvest and let God sort it out. And can I say the most detrimental things that have ever happened in my family happened when I fell asleep and I wasn't watching and I was more concerned about people's emotions and what they thought than the good of my own children. And things have happened that I cannot mitigate. There's nothing I can do about it but pray and trust God. But can I tell you, men? Can I tell you, boys? Can I tell you, for the love of God, watch. Watch. Watch for people that cannot watch for themselves. You must. You must watch. How do you do that? Job woke up before his kids and he prayed for them. And he said, maybe they've done something and God, would you take care of this? You know what you can do? You can put them in a place where they can know and learn and hear the Word of God. You can make sure your kids make it to church. You know what else you need to do? You not only need to watch, but you need to stand. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. You know what that is? That's a military term. Hold your ground. There is unseen battle for your faith. Stand fast, you know what it means? It means keep your line when the opposition comes. Keep fighting, don't run, don't hide, don't retreat. Keep fighting when it's hard. I think the Bible says it this way, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Many men, they talk a good talk, and they try to make a stand, they really do. But when persecution or tribulation comes because of the Word's sake, by and by they're offended and they stop standing and they give in. And they say things like this, well, you know, happy wife, happy life. No, that's not true. No. That's buying a little piece for a little bit of time and pushing off the inevitable and letting the problem grow bigger. That's not true. You know what he says? He says, stand fast. Well, you know, kids these days, they just don't respect anyone anymore. Yes, that's what you're for, to hold them accountable and make them respect you. You are their dad. If they can't respect you, who are they going to respect? You teach them that. And you teach them how to respect the teacher and the police officer and the president and everyone else that's in charge of them. And you teach them how to be under authority. Stand fast. All I know is, you know, I don't want to do it, but, you know, my family wants to do it, and a man can only take so much. Okay, let's look at how that played out in the Bible. Let's look at a disaster in the Bible, 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You are accountable. You are responsible. And God holds you that way. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And verse 12, this is a priest. And he said the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. That's the son of the devil. They knew not the Lord. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They're fornicating with the people that come to church. And here's what he says. And he said unto him, why do you such things? I've heard of your evil dealings by all the people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. But what did he do about it? Nothing. Your kids don't need a scolding. What they need does start with an S, but it's not a scolding. They don't need to hear what they're doing wrong. They need to be held accountable. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 27. God had a problem with this. God had a problem that he knew about it and didn't hold them accountable. And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And I chose him, and he talks about how he chose the priesthood. Look at verse 29. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering which I have commanded my habitation, and honorest thou thy sons above me? They were stealing from the church. They were stealing from the offering. He heard about it. He didn't hold them accountable. And God said, you honor your children more than you honor me. Why, you're not standing fast. And he says this, verse 30, wherefore the Lord God saith of Israel, I saith indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever, but now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Look at verse chapter 3 and verse 12. And he tells Samuel this, in that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile. And underline it, what's the next part? He restrained them not. Not under my watch. Stand fast. It will not happen. I don't care if you are my son, I am calling the police. I walked into a house one time where a man lay dying. And I said, well, are you ready to die? He said, you can't talk like that. I'm like, yeah, you got to be ready to die. You ready? Having health problems. And he said, well, no, I don't think I'm in a good place with the Lord. He's like, I just been doing this and my family wants to do this and I haven't stood up to him and I haven't said no. I've just enabled them. And he said, I wish I would have stood up. And about that time, his son walks in and he wants to do something illegal. And I said, well, stand up right now. Tell him no. And the kid's asking him to do this and this and this. I said, say no. He's like, well, I can't do nothing. I said, here's the phone. Call the cops. You can do something. Stand up. And then we all get around praying, big happy family. And I said, Lord, please help this man to stand up. And help him kick his worthless kids out of his house, whose names are here, and this is their names, and this is what they're doing. Help him to be a man and stand fast and give them the boot. Not under my watch. You are responsible. God held Eli responsible for what his kids did. If it's happening under your roof, get it together. Well, this is Father's Day, right? Men like it real. You like the bottom line. Be a man. Maybe you don't like that. Well, I hope you do. I heard a message like this and it fired me up. I guess too much GQ magazine. Number three. You know what you got to do? You got to quit you. You've got to fire yourself. You have to quit you. Quit you like men. Act like a man. Quit you like men. Can that be any more clear? You know what that means, quit you like men? It's not about you. Stop making it about you and what you want and what you like and how you... It's not about you. You have to quit you. Have a character like men. There's part of you that wants to play instead of pray. Wants to be selfish and not selfless. Quit you means stop making it about you and focusing on yourself and start focusing on God and what He wants. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 9. 2 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 9. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, 2 Samuel 10 and verse 9, and the story that's going on here, they're in a battle, they have people before them and behind them, and it says, and when Joab saw that the battle was against him before and behind, he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai his brother, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. So they have two battles going on. He puts his brother in charge of one, and he puts himself in a part of another, and it's not looking good, and this is what his battle briefing is to them as they divide companies, and they're fighting for their country, for their families, and for their life on two fronts. This is what he says to them in the face of death. Verse 11, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. You know what he said? Quit yourself. This is not about you. And go and play the man. You say, well, I'm scared. He said, well, at least play the man. Act like a man. Quit yourself. Go and show up and have this attitude. If I fail, I fail, but it won't be for lack of trying. If I perish, I perish. But I will go down acting like a man, standing up for something that is bigger than me. I'll go down faithful. I'll go down watching. I'll go down doing my part. Show up, if for no other reason, to stop the bullet. You know what? This involves maturity and character. The Corinthians were acting like children, and he said, quit yourself and act like a man. Our children, our churches are filled with babies that should have grown up a long time ago. And it hinders the work of God. Have courage. Act with courage. Stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Well, two ways. You quit you like men. It's not about you. It's about someone else, and it's about service, and it's about sacrifice. And keep in mind, he's not talking to soldiers. I'm not talking to soldiers here. He's just talking to church members. But he's using these military terms and talking to them in that way because they would understand it. And he said, you start thinking about stop. Look, you know what guys do? Man, I just thought I'd be further ahead in life by this time. You know? I mean, I'm 50 years old. I think, you know what? I'm going to go get a Corvette now or never. You know, at this time, if you start thinking and focusing on yourself, the next thing you know, you're going to have an affair. It's not about you. It's not. God did not put you here to make you happy. He put you here to make Him happy and to do something for Him and to lead and to watch and to stand fast. Quit yourself. Stop whining. It's not about you. Stop. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13? When I was a child, I spake as a child. Give me, give me, give me. I want that. Why is he doing that? Give it to me. Stop it. That's mine. Seth? Believe me, I know. More. Longer. Entertain me. Feed me. What are we having for dinner? Nothing but dirt. I tell kids all the time. I say, when I was your age, I went to school in 2 feet of snow, uphill both ways, with nothing to eat but dirt, and I was thankful for it. And they just roll their eyes. Can I have more? I spake as a child. I understood as a child. Why is everyone being so mean to me? Why don't they appreciate me? I understood as a child. I thought of as a child. Don't be like that. Be a man. It's not about you. Out there fishing, and we are fishing with live shrimp, right? Give me a shrimp.
But what if it bites me?
Be a man. Just give me a shrimp. If it bites you, it's a shrimp. What do you think it's going to eat you? Just give me the shrimp. And there's a man on board of the boat, and we also have blue crabs that we're going to do there. And this man picks up this blue crab, and they have these big old pinchers on them. And he picks up this crab, and it pinched him in two places. And it was crabs, they go like this. And then they go like, and the kids are looking at it with it's on that man's hand, and they're like, does it hurt? And he's like, of course, that's why it's bleeding. Why do you think my hand is bleeding? Because it doesn't hurt. Well, what are you going to do about it? There's nothing I can do about it. I just have to wait till he lets go, and then I'll catch him, and maybe the redfish will do something to him. Say, well, what do you mean? Does it mean I have to grab a shrimp? Does it mean I have to get pinched by a crab? No, it means that you stand up and do what needs to be done and stop thinking about yourself. I've seen a man in the hospital, and his son's on a respirator, and him and his wife are there, and the doctor comes in and says, look, it's not looking good. Your son has no brain activity. There's no way he's coming back. With your permission, I think we should turn off the respirator and let him go. You know what the wife does? She falls apart and starts screaming. Says, I can't make the decision. And you know what the man says? Honey, it'll be okay. He trusted Christ. We'll see him again. It's all right. Doc, go ahead and pull the plug. Did it hurt him? Of course. Of course it hurt him. But you know what he did? He quit himself. And he became a man. And he did what needed to be done. Instead of falling apart. And you know what you're supposed to do, men? You're supposed to quit yourself and put your family first and step up to the plate and understand it's not about you. And ladies, never marry a man that thinks about himself first. And you know what the second part of that is? He said, if the battle's too strong for me, then I'm going to go help you. Come help me. And if the battle's too strong for you, I'm going to go help you. And you know what the other part of that is? If you can't do it, get some help and admit where you're weak. Yeah. You know what a real man does? He stops making it about himself and says, I am a failure and I need help and I know you know how to do this. But you know what a boy does? He tries to maintain his image and his integrity and his pride, and he won't admit that the battle is too strong for me and I need help. You know what you need to do? You need to quit yourself and be like a man. And if it's too hard for you, go get some help. Ask for directions. Say, this is too strong for me. You know why a lot of people won't do it? They haven't quit themselves. And their image is more important than the people they lead, so they won't ask for help. Joab says, if I need help, Abishai, I'm going to ask you. Abishai, if you need help, ask me. I'm there to help you. And you know what we are at this church? We are here to help you. We want to help you. But you have to ask for help. And then, in keeping with the manly thing, Be strong. Being a Christian man isn't about things we do, but it's about things we be. We be strong. Right? It says be strong. That's a hard job. How do I do it? Be strong. The Bible says you can't do these things if you're weak, so you need to be strong. Some things that a man needs to do, you can't do unless you're strong. Some of you, you're listening to me and you're like, yeah, I need to make some changes, but if I did that, my 2-year-old would kill me. And if I did that, my wife would take my allowance away. I can't do that. Do you realize what you're asking of me? You know why you think that way? You think about doing what you should be doing. I should make sure my family comes to church and goes to Sunday school. And, you know, I'm going to tell them maybe we should come to... Oh, but man. And you fill with fear and you start sweating. You know why? You're weak. Just admit it. I am weak. And the Bible says, be strong. And I'm not strong. Did you know there was a process to becoming strong? It's not just be strong and I'm weak. There's a process you can go through to become strong. What is that? The proper diet? I've esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. If you only eat once a week, if this is the only spiritual input that you have for 7 days, you are going to be weak. You have to have the proper diet. You know what you need to do? You need to go and get a Bible and read about what it means to be a man and pray and ask God to help you do that and memorize those principles and those things and consume the Word of God with the proper diet. You need some spiritual protein and some spiritual pre-workout and some spiritual boosters too. The gym guys might know what I'm talking about. You're not going to get strong on a diet of Twinkies and social media. You need a good diet. And then you need personal discipline. Proper diet and personal discipline. You know, not only about what you take in, but it's also about what you keep out. I keep my body under. And then you're never going to be spiritually strong without discipline. You have to commit to those things that make you strong and do it long enough over time and there will be a change. I've been to the gym before and I say, how do I get buff? You know, I want to be buff, man. They're like, you just have to come long enough over time and the change will happen. You just have to be consistent, come all the time. And I went twice and I'm still not buff. Listen, you're never going to be strong without that discipline and that commitment to the things that make you strong. And then you need to prioritize decisions. Important stuff. Elevate important stuff. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Be strong. 1 Peter 3:7, it says, likewise, you husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge as the weaker vessel. Men, be strong. Don't be the weaker vessel. Don't. God made you stronger than your wife because he wants you to lead. Most men would agree that they are physically stronger than their wife. And if she's stronger than you, that says more about you than it does about her. You're supposed to be emotionally stronger. I mean, you do not have to deal with the hormonal changes on a consistent basis. Why? Because God wants you to be strong. If somebody's crying and falling apart and emotional, don't let it be you. Get it together. Don't be the weaker vessel. You're there to help them and guide them through those things. Be stronger. And you're also supposed to be spiritually stronger. How many of you are here this morning because your wife woke you up and ironed your shirt? Honey, come on, we got to get to church. Shame on you. You know? I was at the men's retreat, and I said to this man, don't worry, it's nobody here. It's nobody that we know in the whole wide world. But I said to him, I said, why are you here? He said, my wife signed me up for it. I'm like, really? Well, it's good to meet you. And you know what he did? He went to the cot and slept the whole time and never came to the... And his wife is like, come on, honey. Listen, be spiritually stronger. Why don't you make sure she's the one signed up for the gig at the church for the women? Lead your family. Make sure they're at church. You make sure the money's set aside for the kids to go to camp. You make sure that your family's giving. You make sure you are spiritually stronger. Be a man. And then, so we don't get off on a bad foot, let's balance it out. And we'll spend 30 seconds trying to balance all this. All this. Now let's make it sleep. Look at what it says in verse 14. Let all your things be done with charity. You know what a real man does? He loves well. Lose the drama. Amen. Stop being a drama queen. Love well. Don't be the guy that goes off at the drop of a hat. Do everything with charity. Don't be the one where everybody's walking around on thin ice like a cat in the room full of rocking chairs. If things don't go his way, it's sure going to be bad. Don't tell daddy that it's going to go the wrong way. Somebody cuts you off in traffic and you would think the nuclear bomb went off. You are a drama queen. I went to Bible school with a guy one time, and he's trying to get ready for going to visitation. And he can't find his tie that matches his socks or something. And his whole world fell apart. I'm not even going. I'm like, well, I'm leaving. Don't do that to your family. Let all things be done with charity. Don't take this sermon as an excuse to go and beat up your family. Don't do that. Use it as a tool to get right with God. And if changes are made, make them because you love your kids and you love your wife and you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to be the man that God called you to be. Don't get mad because the preacher called you out for your lack of biblical manhood. Charity is love and action. You know what charity is? I love my wife and my kids, and I'm going to watch and make sure the lion doesn't get them. Not on my watch. You know what charity is? I'm going to stand fast because my kids need a rock. They need something that doesn't move in this world of shifting morals. You know what charity is? I am not going to make this about myself. I'm not going to be a martyr. I'm going to quit doing this about myself because I love them and there's something important in me. You know what charity is? It's being strong because you love them and they need. God is more important and interested in our motives than our emotions because the motives reveal who we are. Real men love their wives. They love their children. They love their family. They love the lost. And most importantly, everything they do it because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want you to think about this. And we're closing. When God was about to lead the nation of Israel out, you know what Pharaoh did? He ordered all the male childs killed. You know what Herod did when Jesus Christ was coming? He ordered all the male childs killed. Whenever God's going to do something, the devil comes and tries to kill all the men. Because if you look at the history of our nation and look at the history of our church, it is men that led the church forward and led their families forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil would like nothing more than to take you out. Just like he took out two generations of men to try to stop what God's doing. And what do you think he's doing in America? He's trying to take a generation of men out. And you need to understand that God called you in a unique way, in an important way, and he needs you to be a man and be what he called you to be. And remember this, God doesn't expect you to be perfect, but he expects you to be growing. If I can have the piano player come forward and bow your head and close your eyes. Just take a second. You can do it in your pew. You don't have to come to the altar, but just take a second and evaluate. If you want to come to the altar, you can. Am I being the man that God has called me to do? Am I doing these things that God's called me to do? Am I loving well? Am I watching? Am I being strong? Am I making it about him and not about me? And just evaluate and ask God, is there an area you need me to grow and you need me to improve? To be the man that you called me to be a man of God.